Well, good evening, and welcome to the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God here in Cary for our family night, Wednesday night Bible study, and our youth services. If you're online tonight, we are so glad you're joining us. If you're here in person, we're so glad you're joining us. And we are on book 11 tonight, so while you find your spots in the lesson plan, if you're online, we encourage you to comment, put your prayer requests in, and if you do a prayer request, just put it in capital letters, all caps. If you have a comment, just type it in normally, and we'll have somebody. Sister April, you got your phone? Are you good? So Sister April will watch for your comments, and she'll try to get it in as quick as she can while we're still on the topic, and we'll try to address all the comments online. And if you're in here in person, we encourage you not to wait for people online to comment. We want you to get up, come to the microphone, and tell us what's on your mind. Amen? Tonight's a really good lesson. And this is something that I think most Christians, not all, so don't throw anything at me, but a lot of Christians, I'll say, struggle with when they're reading their Bible. And that is recognizing or remembering the types and shadows of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as they point to the New Testament. And a lot of times you'll get people that don't even want to read the Old Testament because they don't think it matters, or we got the New Testament now. But I would like to encourage you to read the Old Testament, and while you're reading the Old Testament, like I've heard people say, oh, you can find Jesus in every scripture. I have a hard time doing that sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. Some of the scriptures I'm like, okay, I'll just, maybe this is the exception. I don't know. So sometimes we're not going to see it real jumping right out to you every time, but the Old Testament points towards Jesus Christ. So if you keep reading, you're going to see it. If you keep praying about it and you keep studying it, you'll understand it. And we all, I'll speak for myself, but I'm going to say we all have a lot more that we can learn about Jesus by reading the Old Testament. Amen. And studying it out, understanding what the things were that they used in the Old Testament, and how they apply to Jesus in the New Testament. And those lessons are so compound. Like, I'll be honest with you, when I was going through this lesson plan, I didn't know where to start and I didn't know where to stop, because I'd start going down a path of kind of researching something, and then it's like, wait a minute, I'm getting way deeper on that and I'm getting away from the topic of the evening, right? Because you can do that. That doesn't mean you've studied too much. That just means when you're teaching a specific topic, you got to stop when you need to stop and get to where you're supposed to be. But in your personal prayer life, in your personal biblical life, it's a never-ending journey. Amen? If you're reading your Bible and trying to learn more about Jesus, I would offer to say you'll probably never get there. You'll never finish, Sister Peggy said. You'll be able to just go back and go to the next and just start reading again and start digging. So tonight is one of those lesson plans that I think it's kind of unique. It's similar to last week, but it's kind of unique to what we usually do through our lesson plan. But this has got three very distinct topics: an Old Testament passage and how it applies to Jesus. An Old Testament passage, how it applies to Jesus. And then an Old Testament, New Testament, and how it applies to all of us, Jesus, kind of all in one at the very end. So I think this is going to be a fun and an interesting conversation study. So I look forward to, and I'm going to ask you for some of your opinions that I would hope people would give me, because there are right and wrong answers, okay? But some of these things we're going to talk tonight, there's a lot of different thoughts on it. Let me say that. And as long as they're biblically principled and in line with the types and shadow of Jesus, There's a lot of different perceptions that you can have about some of these different things of what does it mean to you or what do you think it meant? Because some of these things, I'll just be honest with you, the Bible doesn't come right out and tell you exactly. You have to understand it. You have to read it. You have to study it out to kind of put the pieces together. And if you read your Old Testament, that happens a lot. And I am not an expert on any of this by any stretch of the imagination, so that's why I want everybody tonight to really put their thinking caps on. And I'm going to challenge you, if you're not one of the people that usually gets up and comes to the microphone, make tonight your night. Don't be bashful. There's not a place or a person in this place that's going to laugh or make fun or think you're silly for getting up and talking. That's what we want from everybody in here. I wish there was a line at the mic every Wednesday night. Amen. We'd stand here and let everybody speak and speak their mind. And that's what we're here for, to reason in the Word, to learn from each other, Because this room, I'm looking around, and I'm not talking about people's physical age. We got a lot of mature Christians in the room. That didn't go over very good, Pastor Joe. Yeah. We got a bunch of little baby Christians in the room, right? No, which one do you want, right? You got to be one or the other. Come on. Yeah, either hot or cold, Brother Bob says. No, but for real, as Sister Peggy said, we're here to learn, but we're here to learn from each other. And that mic shot out of there.
You don't even know.
Yeah, see, if you'd have been standing there ready to talk, oh, Jimmy, we need assistance. So one of the things that we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, as Pastor Joe's been really emphasizing, and I've been thinking about it this week as I've been reading these scriptures, we're here to learn, no doubt about it. But we're not here just to learn for ourselves. We're here to learn so we can share it, so we can apply it. Come on. We're not just walking around with a shirt that says, I know a whole bunch of scriptures. We want to apply it to our lives. Amen? Amen. And we want to teach other people to apply it to their lives. We want other people to know the goodness of God through our testimony, through our teaching. For those people that aren't here, for whatever reason, we want to be able to take it to them in a good way. That sounded bad. We don't want to take it to them. We want to take the scriptures to them. How's that? Yeah, yeah. We don't want to, that sounded bad. Brother Bob, come on.
Yeah, we got to be a light to the world, a light to the brothers and sisters. How can we do that? We can have Christ in us, the Word in our heart.
Amen.
And we can be where it is, as he's answering to God calling upon our life, upon other people, what God has done for us, he can do for them.
Amen.
God knows different. God knows respect the person. God will do the same for me as he did for you.
Amen.
What's different about God? God says, I'm great.
Amen.
I can help you out in all situations. Every point you have, every trouble, every circumstance, I'd be there to help you out.
Amen. Light of the world, Bob said. And people got to know that God will do for them what he's done for me. Amen. That's a good word, brother, and that's a fact. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I don't know if you knew it or not, but that's part of one of the scriptures that we're going to read, that through what I was reading this week, I kind of came up on something that relates to that. It's in our second group of scriptures. So we're going to start tonight in Exodus 25 and Leviticus 24:2. Exodus and Leviticus in this area, they both kind of talk about the same thing. They are very similar scriptures. Exodus 27:20 is very similar to Exodus 24:2, but we're going to read what they have in our lesson plan. And it is in Exodus 25:31, and I got the New King James I'm going to read. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. We could talk about that all night. Now, I don't want to embarrass or don't want anybody to feel guilty, but did anybody study that? Like dig into that on that lampstand? Did anybody have a chance to go back and read about? Because that was fascinating to me. All the different, I don't know if the word's metaphors or what it would be, but all the things about that one statement right there. And then if you read the whole section of scriptures there in God's direction, very detailed direction about that lampstand, there's a whole lot of stuff there. The flowers are to be like almond blossoms. An almond blossom was the very first tree or plant in the spring to pop flowers. I don't know if an almond's a fruit, but I'll say bear fruit. It was a sign of new beginnings, new life, regeneration, whatever you want to call it. It was brand new. Now, almonds, I think there's a lot of different scriptures that we go back where Jesus even mentions almonds in the New Testament, but I thought that was really cool. I thought that it was really cool that the lampstand, all the branches, all the little flowers, the cups, the bowls, the knobs, was one piece of gold. Did anybody happen to look up how big a piece of gold that was to make this lampstand? Who said it? You're close. 75 pounds of pure gold. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of gold. Something else I want to point out is gold is very light. So I don't know how much that would, what that would look like. In my mind, I'm looking at like the bed of a pickup truck full. That's probably way too much, but 75 pounds of gold pounded into one piece. And I wish I had a picture of what this looked like. The Jewish, and I'll mess this word up, but menorah, I think, is very similar. If you know what that looks like, that's what this thing looked like, but I just don't know how big it was. Because it was 70, whoever said that, yeah, it had to be big, 75 pounds of gold. Are you speaking that as a fact or are you guessing? You Googled it? Okay, so it's five or so. This thing's as tall as I am, roughly, and that's a huge lampstand. I also thought it was, oh, go ahead, Sister Sally.
Well, really, it's really a representation of Christ. Mm-hmm. The stand, all that gold, yeah, that's a lot of gold. Mm-hmm. And it's all one piece. Can you imagine the beating that out to get it into,
yeah,
all these different pieces, all one piece?
Yeah.
Because the shaft, it's in the middle. That's Christ standing there. That's Christ. And then the branch is going out.
Amen.
Three on each side.
Yeah.
That's representing the nations. Three on this side, three on this, amen, side. Then the middle shaft is seven. That's Jesus' total.
Come on.
That's God's perfection.
We'll give her a microphone. Come on.
Yeah,
amen.
The knops.
Yeah.
The fruit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, everything has a representation.
Amen.
Everything's telling you what it is. And it's just, it's really, it's a representation of Christ.
Amen.
Because in the beating, that's, they're telling you about Jesus. Jesus was beaten.
Mm.
Just think how much beating they'd get that beat out into all those things, and the bowls, the knops, the branches. It's all here. It's just Jesus,
amen,
Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Sally.
Amen. That's nice.
Yeah, that was the next 10 minutes I had planned, so we're going to have to pray a long time at the end or something. Sally just preaches the whole sermon for the whole Bible study for me. I love that. Thank you so much for that. That's just so refreshing for me. She took every note I had and just bam. The one thing I want to add to that, everything Sally said is spot on in my interpretation of what I was studying. The one thing that I did see that was kind of cool, and you already said it, you just said it a different way. The six is man. When you add seven, that's completion. So that's, Yeah, so perfection or completions. Amen. Brother Bob.
I'm saying the same thing, but I won't give other people a chance to talk, send me talk. But that's good. And if you read down the second scripture, God, it speaks by the same thing. It speaks by the same thing. Who was the true light? Who made the light? And who the light of the world? God is. Jesus Christ is. It goes down, John talking about that too. But the whole point back to Jesus Christ, God. That's the point back to. Thank Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Jacob.
So Christ is the vine and we are his branch, right? And we produce fruit through him. So it'd be like his flowers as well. And shall be of the same, so we are all of one body, his church.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, it wasn't built of a bunch of separate pieces welded or screwed together that could be displaced or maybe out of joint or crooked, or it was perfect and it was all one piece. Okay, Leviticus 24:2 is our next scripture. It said, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive oil, pressed for the light, to make the lamps burn continually. Why would they need it to burn continually? They wouldn't need the lampstand burning in the daytime, would they? When the sun's out and everybody's hanging out. Go ahead, Brother Bob.
Yes, we're true in the light. We are the light. We are the light of the world for God.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't say, let light so shine. What is that light shining? We are the light spreading the gospel to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by keeping light shining before man.
Yeah. So they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it just so they could see.
No.
Oh. Okay.
They're doing it to show people that this is what God can do for them.
Amen.
He can do for others.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got any opinions why they wanted to keep those candles lit all night? Go ahead, Jake.
Well, there is a parable on that, but I came up here to point out something else. In fact, Pastor Joe, you had a sermon. He had a sermon on this about being the hard pressed like that, and he illustrated with the sponge.
Yeah,
it's his anointing, and you know, to
the olive oil. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else got any opinions on that? Here's something else that I read as I was reading the scriptures around that. I thought it was interesting. One of the things that God told Moses is have them situated so the light shone forward. I thought that was an interesting detail. Very specifically. There was one sentence in the scripture where it says, and place them so that the light shines forward. Come on up, Brother Andy. I was curious if anybody had a thought on why God would specifically say that.
So this is with the lamps that burn continually. I just think of the book of Revelation where it says that Jesus is the lamb, like the sun's the sun today. But he's the lamb, he's the light, and he's going to continually to burn forever.
Amen. Okay.
What I say about that light shining forward, we can't look back yet to see. We got to look forward, not backwards. I've got to let that light shine. If you go forward, people will follow you. But if you go backwards, who back there to follow you? You won't take nobody back with you.
Okay.
Light, because you need light, you're going to want to shine forward show people the way to Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
Not go back, but the light to Christ.
One of the things I read actually said that. There was an opinion that was in a, I don't know if it's one of the commentaries or what, but that's what it said. It said why we're not supposed to be looking back. We're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus, right? Amen. People talk, what's that? Did you just say amen? The most holy place. It was shining towards the most holy place, okay? Because it was always dark in there, wasn't it? One of the things I thought of was it was the only light you needed.
Amen.
When I was thinking about it representing Christ, I was thinking, if you had windows in the tabernacle and you had the doors and the curtains on, you wouldn't need that light sometimes. Led by the Holy Spirit. What was led by the Holy Spirit?
The light that continually burned.
Okay. Okay. So I think everything we've said tonight points us right back to Jesus, and that's the intention. Amen.
Amen.
And God, you know, Brother Darius talked last week. I forget what Pastor Alicia asked in her teaching, but something about why did God not just jump right in and bring Jesus right in or something. And, you know, Darius said man had to be taught because we were not capable, had to be taught to honor God, to love God, only one God. And I think a lot of this stuff points toward that God was setting this up where this is Him. Everything about it was about Him. But everything about it pointed towards Jesus. Did you have something, Jake? Go ahead. Then we'll move into John.
Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So I also believe that what you were talking about, pointing in a particular direction, that's His purpose that He places on each one of us, you know, to bring more to Him, to bring Him glory.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Any other comments on that first set of scriptures there? Bible study's half over. Amen. We still got a lot to get through. But we're not going to go fast and miss anything. Outside of the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. That was the other scripture. I hadn't read that yet. Okay, now we're going to move to the New Testament. Gospel of John seems to be the favorite New Testament reference we're going to use tonight. In verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Brother Bob,
Who was the light? Christ, God, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, God. Mm-hmm. Who is in the love of Christ, and He's the one that's for light. We can be a light to others. Christ is a light to us. We can show our light. We can show the love of God to other people. Mm. We can show them that what Christ did for us, He would do for them. And it's so much more than that, too. But God is the main reason why we are alive today. God gave down His Son to die for us so we may have life everlasting.
Amen.
And that's the promise we have from God Himself. So as we believe in me, you should have life everlasting. So praise God. That's what we're thinking about.
Amen. Amen. So I got a couple Greek words tonight. And the first one, I think this, I was doing this when I was looking at it, and I think Pastor Joe's actually thrown this in his Sunday morning sermons, because I've heard this one before. Zoe. And Zoe is life. Says he's the life, and the life was the light. And Zoe means of absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God, and through him, both to the hypostatic logos and to Christ, in whom the logos put on human nature. Real and genuine, active and vigorous life, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who have put their trust in Christ, but after the resurrection, to be consummated by new ascensions. Among them is a more perfect body. And here it is, to last forever. So that goes, so we go from a golden lampstand to eternal life. And the lampstand's always burning, Pastor Joe said. Never ending, eternal. So that's a cool first session. I've never read it like that. I'll just be honest with you. From reading the study plan and reading it and going back and forth and back and forth. Because I'll be honest with you, and I'm speaking about myself, but, and you can laugh if you want. That's okay. I can take it. But if this is you, transform yourselves in your scripture reading, because what I used to do is skip right through that stuff, because I was thinking all they're talking about now is building a tabernacle. How big it's going to be, how wide it's going to be, how tall it's going to be, what it's made out of, how many lampstands there are, how many flowers there are, right? It's more than that. Amen? So far, just in the last couple months, I've told you I don't read the begats. Or that you're going to start thinking, what does he read, right? But I'm just being real with you. A lot of times we want to read our Bible. Now, don't amen this, but we want to read our Bible because it's fun and interesting. We just want to read the good stories about Mary and Joseph, and Joseph in the thrown in the pit, and Nehemiah and the jailer, and all, you know, we want to read all these cool stories, Jonah and the whale. But sometimes we got to read about the lampstand. That's just me being honest and vulnerable with you. Brother Bob, come on.
We can read about who is the author, first of all, of our faith is, and who is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Why? Because he was the beginning. He made the world. He created the world. He spoke into existence.
Yeah.
Without him, we wouldn't have no life at all. He put life into Adam, and into Eve, and into us to do we live.
Amen.
Why? Because he's breathing upon us today.
Yeah.
Thank Jesus for that.
Amen. Through him, all things were made, right, Bob?
Amen.
Amen. And still breathing life into us. All right. Before I get too twisted up there, let's move into our next thing. And this is the bread of life. That first one was called the light of the world. The second section is called the bread of life. And this is in Leviticus 24, verses 8 and 9. And it says, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy to him from the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Does anybody know what they're talking about? Does anybody have any idea? It doesn't actually say it in our scriptures this week. Did anybody look back and see what they were actually placing? It says they shall set it in order before the Lord every Sabbath. Aaron and his sons, which would have been the Levitical priests, were to eat it. Who said something? Showbread, I'm hearing. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
So, what I'm thinking is, you know, John the Baptist came to make, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, to make the way for the Lord, right?
Amen.
The Lord is the Word. The Word is bread. And there was something else too. So it was making the way for the Lord, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. So I believe the fire is the speaking of his baptism.
Okay. Sister Sally.
Well, set it in order. You're talking about the bread.
Yep.
But they also had a rule where everybody had to pay some money, shekel or something, to the for the upkeep. So, and that's where it gets taken from the children, because from all the body, the children that came, and they had to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking about the bread, which is...
It was a community event, wasn't it? Somebody had to support the ministry of making that bread repeatedly over and over and over.
All the people.
Yeah.
They liked the congregation here. And really, what it and they would pay, and then that bread, the priest would buy the bread and whoever made it, you know, and fix it and set it before them every week, you know, every day. And only the priest eat it. To me, it's sort of telling us that this is about the priest. And the priest is the one that taught the people. And to me, this is sort of telling us that, you know, that we should support the head of the ministry, our pastors, and listen to them. To us, it's pastors. Mm. To them, it was priests. You know, the importance of the pastor, because all this stuff is so hard to understand. And without a pastor or the priest teaching them, they're never going to understand it. Even now, that's why most of us don't understand, because we don't understand it. We don't, and we come to church, we look for the good things, the stories that he was talking about. All that stuff.
Yeah.
All this other stuff is just junk. We don't want that. That don't mean nothing. But if this is why we need the priests, the pastors, to teach us to read that, because that is important. That's and we'll never know Jesus if we don't read.
Yeah.
All the stuff.
Yeah.
Because the Bible was all about Jesus.
Yeah.
The whole Bible is
Amen.
Jesus. That's all they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's all about him.
If Soak
us
it up.
Understand him and love him. Because how can you love somebody that you never seen? You just hear, yeah, a good man. I love him. He's a good man.
Yeah.
But we don't know what love is. We're just saying, I love him. But do we really?
Right.
We got to understand him first before we're going to. And this whole lesson here is just all about Jesus.
Amen.
And it's teaching us.
Amen.
If we just open our ears and our hearts and take it in.
Amen. What was another name for the showbread? I got all kinds of people. Did somebody say the bread of life? What else did they call it in the Old Testament, at least? There's another name for it. Manna? No. I don't think it would have been manna. The bread of the presence. Go ahead. Jump right up here. Say something. Well, yeah. Yeah, you better talk. It's jumping at you.
Something jumped out at me. So I was just reading about the cakes, and it says, you know, 2/10 of an ephah.
Yeah.
You shall set them in two rows, six in a row. So
mm-hmm.
That's 12.
Yep.
I just found it interesting that there was 12 disciples.
Yep. So. Amen. I read that in one of my commentaries when I was studying. That was absolutely one of the things that, biblical scholars have thought as a representation of that. There was two things that I read that were predominant in there, and that was the 12 tribes of Judah, or Israel, and the 12 apostles, Old Testament, New Testament. And that's what we're studying tonight, how they relate. So, amen, that's a good word. Go ahead, brother.
First of all, I get from the scripture we read this reading, also representing the Lord's Supper.
Yep, I've seen people that relate it to the Lord's Supper,
and
amen.
Way, and what you said about the 12 or 13 people, who were the 13 people of the apostle? There was 12, but 13 were children, because Satan rebelled against God. Not Satan, but you know,
Judas.
Judas betrayed God. So they had to get one more disciple.
Matthias, right?
Yeah, so that'd be 13.
Yeah,
that's where I get 13 from.
There was never 13 at one time, though.
No, only
right?
12. Why? Only 12. But see, Satan, he messed up by going against God.
Yeah.
And when he done that,
he messed up early,
yeah,
didn't
all,
he? Man, he messed up.
He made all of us look bad.
Amen. Amen. So one of the things I thought, and I usually don't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. The Old Testament was in Hebrew. And I thought it was interesting, and I wasn't intentionally going to do this because my Hebrew is not near as awesome as my Greek. But in Hebrew, the word is lechem panim. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah, right. But I thought it was interesting because what that word actually means in Hebrew is the bread of faces. And this is one that really leaped out to me. Because we've already talked about the Levitical priests were the ones that were to eat the bread. Was there any women Levitical priests? I don't think so. That was probably not allowed, was it? And I'm not going to go off on a rabbit trail, but in today's world, if somebody says gender neutral, you think of a restroom that allows men or women, right? It's got a male and a female, maybe in a, I don't know, a place that has a family restroom is what I would call it. Well, heckum, penum, however that is, you Google that yourself. It's considered an absolute noun. You know what that means? No gender. Man or woman. Now, either these guys in the Old Testament, these priests, didn't understand, didn't care, thought they were out of other names, but that would have been an odd thing to name something that was for only the male Levitical priest in the statue or the status of females in those days. Jesus was for everybody. And if we're going to say that bread is a representation of Christ, how awesome is it that the Hebrew word they used to name that bread was a gender neutral, either verb or noun, I could be wrong on that. Whatever, it was gender neutral for man or woman. And if you study your linear concordances, a lot of times in these Greek and Hebrew words, they'll say feminine noun, masculine noun. This one says both. That's cool. At least in my little weird world, that's cool. Because I'm thinking only God in his divine wisdom, looking forward to the day of Jesus when everybody, it's available to everybody, would have named it an absolute word for everyone. Because back then it wasn't that way. Pastor Joe.
Just to add to that, because there's so much stuff we can talk about, but just to add to what you're saying, the bread of the presence. There's not really a word in the original language for presence. It actually means face to face. So when you're talking about that bread of the faces, what it's saying is they're coming face to face with God. It talks about Moses even coming into that court and being face to face with God. And so what we need to understand is, although the priests are the one that consumed it, so it speaks of substance there, sustaining us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the manna did. That represents Christ. It's what the bread here, the bread of the presence, or it represents Christ. Christ sustains us. He's the bread of life, right? He keeps us. So it's all foreshadowing Jesus coming. But we have to understand that, and Sister Sally kind of alluded to it, is they brought the meal offerings. It was just the flour mixed with the oil and some of the spices that were said. But that's the women and men brought that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was baked into the cakes or the bread,
mm-hmm.
and for the priests to consume. So it came from everyone.
Yeah.
The bread of the faces. And it was representation of God's people coming face to face with him in his presence. Now, because it's an Old Testament concept, not everybody was allowed to come in yet.
Right.
So there was only certain people. The priests were the go-between, mm-hmm. for the people. But they're going and they're representing the people. They're bringing the people before God. And that bread of presence, remember, presence means face to face with God. They're coming face to face with God. And God is sustaining his people. So the offering is a show of God's substance.
Yeah.
God is sustaining us. We have meal to make into flour. Mm-hmm. Thank God that we have this. So we bring it as an offering. And then that offering turns into a way to sustain the priests, the Levitical tribe, which couldn't own property,
right.
couldn't have field. You know, they weren't allowed. Right. So it's sustaining them to do that. Now we move into the New Testament concept, and the priests are the one that absorb, or that take, right? They eat that bread, okay? Well, what does it say? We are all now priests and kings.
Yep, amen.
Every one of us have been made that in Christ. So not only do we bring a meal offering, so to speak, a thanks offering unto God, saying thank you that you sustain us, that you keep us, but that is in turn back to us in a spiritual way, a spiritual manna, a spiritual bread that's life that we consume. That's where it points back to communion. And the Lord's Supper is that we are eating this bread that represents the bread of life. Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. We have consumed him. And so we continue to consume him in his presence, face to face with God. There's just so much here.
There is.
I couldn't talk about the first part because I'd have got up and preached.
I was thanking God you didn't, because I thought he's going to get up right out of the gate and preach the whole Bible study. He just chose to do the whole second part. Amen. That's such a good word. I mean, obviously you can't say it any better than that, because that's it. That's absolutely it. And it just amazes me, and I'll go back to my personal study again. It amazes me that you don't think about some of that stuff when you're just flipping the pages. Maybe if you're like me, sometimes you're just flipping the pages, looking for something to catch your eye. You know, I don't always just read front to back. I'm just kind of looking for something to jump out at me. None of this stuff ever does. I'm not even sure I start all the way back in Leviticus. I might start in the middle of the book somewhere, right? But I'm joking around tonight, but I'm just being real with you because I think we get into that. You know, I find myself, if I don't feel something real, real heavy, I just go to the Gospels, man. I'll just start reading the Gospel because I love the Gospels. And you can't read those too many times, at least in my life. So, okay. So I had a lot of the things there. God is our source of life, substance, consuming in our innermost, physical, spiritual, and eternal survival. All these things that Pastor Joe said from the Old Testament to now. Amen. Amen. Brother Bob said, don't say New Testament, say now. Amen. Because I probably would have said to the New Testament. But he's right. From the Old Testament till now. And I could just say till now, right? Because no matter when you say it, it's still till now. Amen. That's a good word, Brother Bob. So that's a really, really good, thorough explanation of that whole bread. I thought it was interesting. I was reading one of the commentaries, and they said, you know, they changed it out on every Sabbath because you didn't want your priests to have to eat, you know, stale bread. And I was thinking, this bread's sitting there for 7 days. What kept it from going stale? You think it was God? Because I'll bet they weren't giving their priests stale bread. This bread was probably as good as it was the day they put it there.
Okay.
Our bread won't last 3 days laying on the counter, will it? It's wrapped in a plastic bag with a zip tie on. Go ahead, Brother Bob.
It's like in the Old Testament when they go through the wilderness. God sent manna to them every day.
Yep.
It may not be the same day bread, but it was fresh. Every day it was fresh bread.
Amen.
And he gave them enough for them to eat. Nothing abundantly, but enough for them to gather and eat for that day.
For just that day. Yeah,
for that day. That's why go by the priesthood and give bread, give them for each day. And that's the God makes sure it's fresh for each day for them.
Yeah.
God made ways. When we don't see no way, God made ways.
God made a way. Amen. That was just one of the weird thoughts I had. My thought, you know, they put it there, and then 7 days later, the priests are going in there and eating it. That was just my flesh thinking about it, I guess.
You got to look at God's standpoint.
But God's, it's in the tabernacle, huh? It's got them candles shining on it. It's forever in the presence of God. Bible says put it right in front of the ark. And that's where it should stay.
Why do you say in front and not behind?
In front and not behind. Amen. Amen. Is there any other comments or questions on that? Because we're getting close here. This might be the first time in a long time I get everything finished up and by 8 o'clock, because Pastor Joe bailed me out, man. He blew through it for me. Any other comments, Sister Sally? We don't want to move on until we're ready. Come on.
Yeah, nine. I was wondering, they say, and Aaron and his sons, and they eat it in the holy place. That would be in the first, in the room there, before the most holy place. And it is most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord, made by fire, by a perpetual statue. And I was wondering, do they really eat it? Or is it eating it just a representation that you're eating it? Because it's made by fire. Fire is the cross of Christ. I know that.
Yeah, so I don't know. And that's actually a good question, Sally, because maybe Pastor Joe could elaborate on this. But I know one of the scriptures in that section of the Bible talks about the bread was to have frankincense put on it. And the way I felt is that when they cooked it, it smoked. I don't know. Is that?
Yeah.
Because it does. I read that too, and I was thinking, what does that mean by fire? Because it's already baked. It's already there for 7 days before they eat it. So you wouldn't think they'd catch it on fire then.
And it's made by fire. I know they're talking about the cross, about Jesus.
But
and
the
it's
frankincense.
Perpetual, you know, that's forever statue.
Yeah.
We're supposed to think of it all the time, I guess. And so they're referring to Jesus' death, I think, and I don't understand how they,
I'm with you. That was actually one that I wasn't going to bring up because it says with the frankincense on it. So Pastor Joe, if you got an idea on that or if you know, tell us.
So the frankincense is a foreshadowing of his death because he's going to give us his body.
Yes.
We know that the bread represents the body, but you can consume frankincense.
Yeah.
And there's also oil poured in, and from the oil and the frankincense into the meal, they would make a dough. And when it says made by fire, they would cook it over the fire. They would bake the bread over fire. That's okay. What it means. It's made by fire.
Okay.
So they bake the bread over fire. So in my understanding of it, and I'm not saying that I have everything figured out, but in my understanding of it, they did eat it. Because it says eat it.
Yeah, I feel
so
like
they actually consumed it. They ate it. It was a bread that they made.
Yeah.
And it didn't have any leaven in it, so it didn't rise.
Yeah.
So it was like a cake, like a flat bread. But it had oil and frankincense in it. The oil represents the anointed one, and the frankincense represents the death. That we even see that as a gift given to Jesus by the wise men.
Yeah.
Yes, the bread would be kneaded with the oil and frankincense in it. And then they would put it over the fire and they would bake it over the fire. Obviously, they didn't have ovens like we do.
Right.
But they would use that fire to bake it and then they would eat it.
Okay, so that's simpler than what I thought, to be honest. I was trying to see, sometimes we over-spiritualize, and if that's all that means, then does that help you, Sister Sally? I was too. I was trying to look for this deep meaning of something, and that's all. Sometimes we can overthink it. Go ahead, Brother Bob.
Now, well, a good point, but no. What did they offer Christ at birth? What did those three wise men make to Christ at birth? That's for the ball. What was that for? The sanctified, but the Old Testament, the New Testament, is all about Christ, all about purification and so forth.
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to read, I'll read John 6. There's a few scriptures here, just to the New Testament scriptures about the bread. These are, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And that life, again, used there is Zoe. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's read down here last couple scriptures. Exodus 30, verse 1 and 7. It says, you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And then the New Testament scriptures are Revelations 5 and 8, and 8 and 3 and 4. And it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Heard that one time tonight. Which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angels' hands. Now, one of the things that I read about the incense, and there was frankincense in that too, I thought it was interesting, and I didn't go here earlier, but a lot of these things that we read about tonight were also utilized by other people in pagan religions, where there was no order, no honor, and no results. But they did the same thing. They threw food at the different gods, and they threw dumped wine on, you know, and they did all these things. And they had smoke, and they burned, and probably had incense. So our God is a God of order. Amen. And everything we talked about tonight had very specific order. And this incense is not just smoke. God gave them exact ingredients for this. And then he told them two things about it. He said, you only use this incense. Nothing else. If you try to burn anything else or make your own, or if you use other ingredients, you'll die. And then this is the other one I thought was interesting. Once again, these things all point back to singular focus on God. There's another thing he told them. If you make any of this incense for yourself, I don't think it said they would die. In this one, it said you'll be separated from Israel. So this was a specific incense. This was God's incense. And it represented the prayers of the saints, it says. That's why I just read that all together, because it's kind of, I found out earlier that if we read one and we end up getting to the next one before we get there, and these two combined, these two are really, really close together. So our lesson plan says, have you ever been in a Christian church service that used incense? And if so, what did you think of it? Has anybody ever been in a Christian church service that had incense? A couple heads shaking? Anybody? Jesse, what'd you think of? I'm not putting you on the spot, I'm just curious.
No, that's okay. So the first time I was ever in a Christian church service that used incense, it was midnight mass.
Yeah.
It was at the Catholic church.
Okay.
And I guess I really didn't know what to think. I mean, I kind of felt it was ritualistic. I didn't really get a whole lot of spiritual aspects from it, but I really wasn't serving God at the time.
Yeah.
So looking back, I mean, I still don't really know what to think about it, because it's not something that's, you know, in my normal realm of how we worship. So
right.
Am I against it? No. I just don't practice it.
Okay. Fair enough. Good. Come on up, sister.
So when I was a child, we had the church that I went to a place called Exaltation. It was held at a place down in Columbus. And when I'm hearing you say this and you ask the question, you know, have I ever been to a service? I can remember certain things about that. I was very young. I was probably 10, 11 years old. But I remember a lot about the service. And one of the things I remember is the smell of service.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an aroma that was different. Whether I remember if it was incense burning or not, I can't tell you that for sure. But I remember the aroma in the sanctuary as we were worshiping and as dancing was going on through the aisles. And I can remember that scent.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember certain things stick with people. And that's something I probably never would have like popped in my mind again until you asked that question.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I have been. And that was something that I remember was that scent.
Yeah. Anybody else? So I was born and raised Catholic right here in Cary. I went to Catholic church my whole life. I went to a Catholic school till I was in high school. I was eighth grade is the highest grade they go. And incense is a big part of Catholic masses or a Sunday service, you know, whatever. I never knew what they used. I never knew what it represented. But they use it as it's spoken here in the Bible. What your opinion is on that is, you know, that's your own personal opinion. But when you read that those scriptures, that's when they use it. When they get the Eucharist, they call it, and when they get it out, the priest will walk around the altar in incense. And I never understood or never heard that it was to represent the prayers of the saints. I always thought it was like, you know, cleansing the room or something. You know, I don't know. Partly, yeah, for that. So that's all I ever thought of it, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's just kind of something like that. So it's, you know, it's an Old Testament tradition, ritualistic, as the brother said. It is, because they do it, you know, over and over. Ritualistic doesn't make things bad. That makes it a ritual. It's something that you do. And Pastor Joe does a good job of teaching that here, that we look at other people's rituals like we don't have any of our own. Amen? You know, we, come on, right? Yeah. So I just thought that was an interesting thing, because if you've been in this church your whole life, you've probably never witnessed that, unless you've went to a different denomination or a different church. And I don't know if any other denominations use incense like that. Come on up, sister.
Okay. I've got to say, for instance, our service Sunday, to me, that was prayers and incense and our praise and
yeah.
our worship.
Come on.
Going up
Amen.
From the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That was what they're talking about right
Amen.
Here. It wasn't some ritual thing that
right.
somebody's doing. It was praise and worship unto the Lord.
Amen.
And that was prayers and incense, that and the angels noticed that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, the angels weren't, they weren't burning anything, were they? But they had bowls with the smoke coming out of it. Amen. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, okay.
Brother Bob, come on, beat that. Come on.
All the scriptures where we read tonight, where we study, in the New Testament, all point to one place, to Christ.
Amen.
To Calvary.
Yeah.
That's what point, where everything is. Everything points to Christ.
Amen. Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. Amen. Any other comments on anything? Questions, comments? You have a question? Like I said, any other comments? The guy that stood up and single-handedly explained the entire Bible study now has a question for me. Oh, boy. Save me, Jimmy.
I think that you going back to what you were talking about with the going through Leviticus,
mm-hmm.
And all the laws. I had to look it up. You know, there are 10 commandments, but for the Jewish people, there are 613 commandments. I had
yeah.
to look that up. I didn't know that
yeah.
what that was.
Yeah.
So what those scriptures say to me is that thank God that if I mess up, I don't have to go out
Amen.
And I have to get a goat or a
right.
sheep or well, what was it if I do this? It's two doves and a sheep and a, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that the complication of that, just to think about that, of, you know, you'd be unclean at this point if you had to, you know, all it's incredibly complicated. It was very detailed because God had to tell them, because he didn't have his, you know, they didn't have his presence with them. So we had to go be very detailed on, listen, you got to do this, mm-hmm. this, and this, and spell it out for them.
Yeah.
But when Jesus came, all that went away.
Amen.
And it is, all I have to do when I mess up is turn around and go, God,
Amen.
I'm really sorry. And immediately
yeah.
that, all of that procedure is all gone.
Amen.
And I'm thank God for that.
Thank God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I think some of those laws were probably man-made too. Some of those people probably, or some of those Jewish, it was under the spirit of bondage that the Pharisees and whoever made up. All right, Pastor Joe, what do you got? Trying to decide how bad you want to do it.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. He knows my answer was going to be so long and profound. Is that what it is? You know the answer before you ask.
Yeah, but the question would take too much time. But I did want to, we missed the comment on line, and I did want to express that. So Sister Brandy Valentine posted when you guys were talking about the lampstand and it being made after in the fashion of almond leaves and an almond tree. And another thing we have to remember is, you know, that those things were made after the Exodus, right? And if you remember, Aaron's rod budded, and it was an almond rod, and it budded almond leaves.
Yep.
And so it's another form of that. So
Amen.
I just want to make sure we express that.
Yeah.
Didn't want to miss that comment.
Yeah, thank you for the comment, sister. I'm sorry I missed that. But thank you, Pastor Joe, for recognizing that and getting it out there, because that's a great comment, and that is a true, another representation of what we talked about tonight. Anybody else? We got a couple prayer requests here. So if we don't have any other comments or questions, everybody go home this week and read Leviticus. Come on. Brother Jesse. Come up to the microphone, brother. Yeah, we got time for that always. Amen.
So I'll just try to make this quick. So during the 21 days of consecration last month, there was a part in the devotional that talked about sacrifice. Hmm. And God is pleased when we sacrifice. And so last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago, it was a busy weekend, a busy Sunday. And my son had agreed to go help someone with something on a Sunday afternoon. We had lunch. He went out to do his thing. I'm thinking, I've got about a half hour. I'm going to lay down and take a nap, right? So somewhere in that time period that I'm trying to lay down and take a nap, my son calls. He's like, hey, I need help with this. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, if I let him go, he can probably figure it out. Probably, because he asked me what he needed before he left, and I told him what I thought he would need. And I thought, well, thinking back to what I had read during those 21 days of consecration, like, I'm just going to get up and help. You know, I'm just going to get up and do it. So it was, you know, a couple hours or whatever to help to get it done. And I was at a point where I was having to work off the floor and get up and down and up. Usually when I do that, I get a lot of back pain. Usually Sundays I'll rest and they'll prep me for the week. Well, I'm thinking this in my head, right? I'm thinking, well, you know, we'll just have at it Monday and things will just go how they go. But I noticed after we cleaned up, packed up, and I was on my way home, I'm thinking my back was warm and it was loose. And it was amazing. God did something in my back and it stuck with me.
Amen.
And so I just want to give God praise because even though there wasn't a specific prayer going up at that point that I knew of, God did something miraculous at that time. And I just want to give him thanks and want to give him praise for it because it was truly an amazing thing that he did. And it was notable. It wasn't just like, you know, your muscles are warm and sore.
Right.
It was afterwards. And there was just something that happened there. And it was just like, wow.
Amen.
Thanks, God. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's a miracle worker. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony from the week? Come on. That's okay.
I'm going to share it because she's back there.
For
the past couple months, my daughter has been praying for a little girl who has said that she doesn't believe. And she's been praying. Avery even woke up with me one morning at 5:45 in the morning on school day and came out here and prayed. And tonight I asked her, I said, do you want to bring anybody to Wednesday night church? And she was all like, I do. She goes, but she's going to say no. I was like, well, let's ask anyway. So I asked and I got a text back that said she would love to come. Right. So she's back there with her tonight. And Avery looked at me as we were getting ready, you know, to leave. And she goes, God does answer prayers, Mom. He goes, you just have to be patient. Just like, so she was happy. And so keep praying.
Amen. Don't you think we can't learn from our kids, right? Amen. Jesus gave a special notion to little children in the Bible. He actually told us we probably ought to receive him more closely like them rather than like us. Right? Yeah. Amen. Little kids haven't got as corrupted as we have in our minds, have we? You think about that, though, how trusting that is and how much that young lady's, the heart that she has for that friend of hers, just not to just be her friend, but to bring her to church and hope that she finds out how much Jesus loves her. That's, you can't get any more precious than that. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, there's one thing about an adult inviting a friend to church, which we should be, but there's no doubt where that thought came from that young lady. So that is very powerful. Brother Jesse's getting healings he didn't even expect. Amen. God's amazing. Amen. Expect the unexpected, Christians.
Yes.
There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing he won't do. Sometimes when you don't ask and sometimes when you do. He's a God of all the time. He's ever, always in our presence. Amen? Amen. Anybody else? We got one prayer request for here, and I hope I don't mess the name up. Gary Hollenball. Does anybody know who that is? Is that how I pronounce his name? Okay. So it says Gary has a cancerous tumor. Pray for Kyle and Nitacore. Anybody else? April's dad, Bob. Amen. Graceland has strep. I'm not going to remember all these, so we're shouting them out right now. God can hear them. So just shout them out. Huh? Terry Norville. Bruce Hayward. Shout out your prayer requests. God's listening. That incense we were just talking about, the sisters talking about, let's put some incense in the air in this place tonight. Shout them out. If you got a name of somebody that's on your heart, somebody that you need for salvation, for a healing in their body, a job promotion, God doesn't care what it is, ask him for it. Amen? There's a thing we do on Sunday mornings, it's kind of like, I guess they call it kind of like one-line prayers or whatever, where we get in a group, and we pray before service, and our pastor opens it up, and then we just shout out, we say what we want, we say a prayer, we pray for somebody, and we just go around the room, and the other pastor, whichever one didn't start it, finishes it. And we just throw our prayers up unto God. So don't be afraid to do that. In public setting, shout names out. I don't always recommend giving people's first name and their address and everything else, but you can say Bob. God knows Bob, and God knows what Bob needs, amen? So if you'll bow your heads with me, we'll close up in prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in this body tonight, Lord. Lord, you heard these names of these people, these children of yours. Whatever their needs are in their bodies, in their hearts, in their spirit, in their soul, Lord, we just lift it up to you right now as the aroma, as a burning incense to you right now, Lord, that you would just smell the aroma of our prayers in your nostrils, that you would just hear the prayers of your saints, that we put our trust and our faith in you, Lord, for you know above all that we could ever possibly know or comprehend, Lord. So we just give it to you. All understanding and knowledge is yours. Lord, we just try to get what we can get. But what we get, we want it to come from you. And we want it to be honored in your holy name, Jesus, and blessed and saved through his blood, Lord. So we just pray for all these people right now. Everybody here that has an unspoken request, a family member, a friend that needs to know you. Lord, we just ask for an opportunity this week to share what we've learned tonight, to share what we learned Sunday, to share what we learn tomorrow, what we learn in our own private readings and prayer time, that we would just have the courage and the boldness to share it with those people we encounter this week. Lord, that we would just be refreshed each and every time you give us a word or an opportunity, that we would not waste it, that we would take full advantage of every opportunity you give us to share your gospel, Lord, that you would share it with us so freely that we would continue to share it with others freely, Lord. We just ask for boldness and wisdom and revelation in who you are more every day. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen.